This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm your host for this evening. And tonight we've got Dee in the studio, and you guys have met Dee before. He was on a few weeks ago, and he spoke to us about his battle with alcohol, alcohol dependency, which was really inspiring story. And we've got so much to talk to Dee about because he's a very interesting guy, Melbourne FTM guy. And tonight I do want to warn you all that we're talking about a very heavy topic. We're going to be addressing child sex abuse, and Dee's here tonight to tell us about his experience. So if you are not in the right frame of mind to be listening tonight, maybe turn the radio down and you can get the podcast a bit later and you can listen with some support. But if you're feeling good tonight and you feel like you could have some questions for Dee, turn up the radio, of course, and SMS us 0427JOY949. You can call on 1300JOY949 and email us on air at joy.org.au. So coming up, we've got Dee's story, very heavy topic, so just be wary of how you're feeling. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm your host tonight, and we've got Dee in the studio. How are you, Dee?
No, I'm pretty good, thanks, Kurt. How are you doing?
I'm all right. It's nice to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
Because we did have a lot of interest in your story the other week, and I always find your stories fascinating as well. Dee, now we've got a heavy topic tonight.
Yes, most definitely. I think talking about my personal story in child abuse is a heavy topic. And I just want to kind of start with saying that my world and my life is fantastic.
Yeah.
So given that, you know, this is a heavy topic, please know that where I'm at now is, you know, I'm not stuck in the past. I've come a long way and I've worked with it. So please know my world is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you look good. You look
great.
Thank
you. Thank you.
And we should have some photos up on the Facebook page after tonight. If you want to go to the Joy website, joy.org.au, click on Transpositions. Now, Dee, do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm 49.
49. So what year were you born? I'm not doing my mathematics here. I can't be bothered.
That is shocking.
Just tell me.
A calculator?
Just tell me.
I was born in 1965.
All right. Now,
great year.
You were the oldest of five kids.
Correct.
And when did everything start for you? When can you remember?
Well, my first, I would have to say feeling memory was when I was 15 months old. And the reason why I have that feeling memory is that my sister was born and was in hospital. And I remember feeling that I needed to protect her a great deal. And it was very, very strong. And I just wanted to guard her from this bad thing. So I don't actually recall any of the touching or anything like that, but there was this sense of really, really needing to protect and guard my sister from this bad thing. So that was at 15 months old, and I know because we're 15 months apart.
Mm.
So that's the only reason why I know that particular age. But certainly as I got more aware mentally, I was aware that, you know, the sexual abuse was there. Now, earlier on in my time, it wasn't so much of happening on a regular basis, but it was definitely happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my memory kind of jumps a bit then, and I jump into kind of, I think I was about five, and, you know, it's a pretty unhappy kid. You know, I didn't particularly want to be a girl. I was brought up in a Greek environment where, you know, girls were second rate anyway. And I didn't understand why I was being treated a particular way. So, you know, the abuse was, it to me, was also getting attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't feel good, but it didn't feel really, really bad at that particular point. And it didn't really start to change a great deal in that. I actually thought it was normal. I thought that that's what all people went through.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was the first of the grandchildren, the first of five in my family, the eldest. And, you know, my father had had quite a serious obsession with me that I didn't know until later on. The abuse itself was escalated and escalated to, you know, at some stage nightly.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, you know, earlier on, it was just a normal thing that happened in my world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it felt yucky. Yep, absolutely. But sometimes it felt nice too.
Mm.
So, you know, that's very confronting. But to me, in my childhood and my mind space, this was normal.
And it's also that we believe every word that comes out of our parents' mouths. And
absolutely.
The fact that it was your dad, you trusted your own dad.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, why would my dad or my parents harm me?
Mm, exactly.
You know, I mean, and what was I going to do about that anyway if I knew about that? But I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't honestly know. I thought it was actually quite normal. But I still had this protection in me to protect my sister.
Mm.
You know, and even my next sister. And then I had two brothers, you know.
Okay, yeah.
And we're 9 years apart, you know, from oldest to youngest. So, you know, I always had this massive protection that I needed to protect them. So I just needed to do it.
Mm.
You know, it was my role.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So you said that your father had an obsession with you. Nothing happened. How were your brothers and your other sisters? Did anything happen to them? Or were they around when it was happening? Did they know it was happening to you?
Yeah, pretty well. Look, I mean, later on, you know, I probably kind of prefer to just stick with me.
Yeah, sure.
Just because it's easier for me just to talk about my story.
Mm.
But ultimately, yes, I believe that when you have this sick, warped mind, it travels.
Mm, mm.
You know.
And your mother knew that it was happening?
She did later on. She absolutely did later on. The issue with her was that she was, you know, she was scared.
Yeah, of course.
Lousy excuse. But ultimately, she was scared.
Mm.
So, you know, from my parents' side of it, I mean, I grew up, you know, expecting to be protected and looked after. And I really honestly didn't know that there was an issue until a particular age. And at that age, when I realised it, that's when I have big memories of my world shattering.
Mm.
Very much so.
Mm.
And that's where the hurt come in. And that's where survival mechanisms come in to try and figure out how in the hell, you know, or what I can do about this. I'm a kid. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know what to say to someone. I don't know who's going to listen to me. Mm. I mean, I'm a kid. They're adults, you know.
That's right.
So
yeah.
Who in the hell's going to listen to me? I'll just be lying, won't I? And this is all in my head without being told, you know, because I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know,
you're overwhelmed.
I'm scared.
I
don't know who's going to look after me.
That's right. Yeah.
And if they're not going to look after me, what about my sisters and brothers?
Mm.
You know, what's going to happen? I have to protect them.
Yeah, you felt responsible. Yeah.
I did.
I'm interested to hear about your survival mechanisms, and I think we'll come back with a few of those, and we've got so much more to talk about.
Oh.
So stay tuned. Subject. And it's going to be like this probably most of the way through this episode tonight. So make sure you've got support with you, listening with you tonight. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And I'm Kurt, and I've got Dee in the studio. And Dee was talking about how he was confused when he was younger and didn't know how to get help or who to speak to or who would listen. So if you are struggling with something similar, you can go on the internet and go to bravehearts.org.au, which is Child Abuse Help, and you can get some information there. Now, Dee, before the break, you were telling us about survival mechanisms.
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things as a kid, and when you're doing any kind of fear, we can go off into fantasy land, and we can learn as children to shut down and disassociate from basically our body or whatever our fear is. It's a great mechanism as a child. And so I chose to do that, and I did that for many years because I didn't have any other choice. I didn't, at that stage in our world then, back then, was that, you know, your GP didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Nobody had to do anything. They weren't liable to do anything, and therefore, you know, the family doctor knew about it, but it didn't matter, you know, because they didn't have to.
Legally, he didn't have to tell anyone.
So, you know, back then it was, in my world, all adults knew.
Yep.
And all adults knew, and didn't matter. I was a kid, too bad, so sad, you know. So my protection comes out. I start to learn to disassociate from my body. I learn to play the system. The system being, be good, do what you're told, and get what you can.
Mm-hmm.
And these came at great costs, you know. I mean, my father's sexual abuse in touching me and being, you know, in penetration, in all of those kinds of things escalated as I got older. That also escalated in the amount of times during the week. I found I was sleep deprivation because he was getting me up at night, doing his thing, then putting me back to bed. By the time I was getting up for school, I was stuffed. You know, I lacked in school. I wasn't paying attention. So my survival mechanisms then changed to harming myself because I found that I had to go into hospital for tonsils at 4, and it was safe in there. So I found that hospital was a great place for safety.
Okay.
So I caused it.
Yeah.
In many ways. As sad as that is. But ultimately I'd go into hospital, I'd have my safety in hospital, but once again my protection for my siblings was huge.
Yeah.
You know? So there was a battle, a constant battle within my head on, and I'm talking at 9, 10, 11 here, you know? This is what you got to do. This is, you know, how do I work it? I'd steal money from my father because I could get away with it because he wouldn't know. I knew his moves. So I'd steal money from my father and I'd give it to my mother so she could buy more food for the kids. You know, so I worked the system. But sadly, it got to a point that, you know, one, given I was born female, I was bound to then get that time of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this caused a great deal of grief. And this was at 11, a great deal of grief. Unfortunately, I was early to my father, obviously. Mm. And, you know, I remember being screamed at for 4 hours up on the decking because I got my period.
Yeah, that's harsh.
And I didn't know why.
Mm.
I mean, not forgetting, too, I didn't want to be a girl.
Did you even know what a period was?
Well, no. My mother wasn't very... Well, my mother really wasn't allowed near me.
Okay. Mm.
You know, ultimately, she wasn't allowed near me. So I never got any of that talk. I never understood any. All I knew in my world was this was happening and I was being yelled at again.
Yeah.
You know? My father would use particular things, like if I wanted something, he'd go and buy it for me as long as I behaved myself correctly, sexually for him. If I did that, I got the thing. If I didn't behave, he burnt it.
All right. And did that work on you?
Well, in the end, I learnt never to want anything, ever. Never be attached and never want. So one, I've detached from wanting something, but I've also detached from my body. It didn't matter anymore. So in a sense, I was protecting my mind.
Yes.
You know, and I believe that that was right.
Yeah.
But once again, we then, you know, what we have to do as children and as a child to combat what's happening to us, and also our lack of trust within any adult, within our world, any adult, because your parents are not looking, you know, protecting you, that is every adult. Because if your parents can't protect you, what other adults are going to?
Exactly.
You know, they don't. You don't believe that. So my survival mechanism in harming myself grew massively. I was fighting my father strongly. And so now what's happened is at this point, we're reaching nearly 13. And it's all escalating. He went and got, you know, a vasectomy so that he couldn't get me pregnant. Apparently, you know, he did tell my grandmother that.
Really? So he got the vasectomy just for
purely you. So that he wouldn't...
Just because you got your period and he was worried that you'd get pregnant. Yeah.
Correct. So, you know, these are things that are told to me later on, obviously. But I started fighting.
You said before that there was an age you got to where you just, you realised it wasn't normal and it didn't happen to everyone.
Yeah.
Was that around now or was that earlier?
No, that was actually earlier, and that was about the time I started shutting down. So this was roughly about 9.
Okay,
It was roughly about 9 where I realised that it wasn't normal, and if I can think back, and it's just a feeling, I don't actually recall the thing. I used to recall every date, every possible thing, but thank God I've moved on. I think it was about 9 because I had a really close friend, girlfriend, and I think I asked her, you know, how often her dad played with her.
Right.
And I think it was her going, oh, God, no. What are you talking about that made me realise that it wasn't normal?
Mm. And what was your first thought that when you realised it wasn't normal? Was it that you had to get out of there or you needed to speak to someone?
I couldn't speak to anyone.
Mm. So not even...
Now I'm really aware that no adults are on my side.
Yeah. You wouldn't even go to your friend that you asked that question to?
No, I couldn't.
No.
Because they were close family friends, like we, you know. I think at this stage, you know, my sister had told my mother. Mm. So my mother was aware by this stage, about 9. So I knew that it was out there.
Mm.
But once again, my father's doing it, my mother's doing nothing.
Yep.
That's it.
Now, once you got to 16, something else big happened, and we'll get you to talk a little bit more about that a bit later. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I've still got Dee in the studio, and we're still on our heavy topic, but I would like to just quickly tell you about Bent TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Because both Dee and I have made an appearance on Bent TV, but you won't see it till the 1st of September. So Bent TV's on Monday nights. They have episodes airing now, don't they, Dee?
Oh, they had one last night. They had the FDM shed was on there, so I was on there with a couple of the other guys, Andrew and Dale, so much fun. Just going in there is so much fun. If you get a chance, go in and watch it.
Yeah, it's
great.
It's fantastic people.
Yeah.
And they're all just lovely and like-minded people who, I didn't even know half the people's names, but we were all having D&Ms with each other.
Yeah. So it's so close. I love it. It's just like that community, isn't it? You know?
It is.
but just so much fun watching through the big window at what they're doing, or chatting amongst yourselves out in the eating their food.
Eating their food. I'm only here for the food. So Monday nights, Channel 31 and Transmission, which is their new series to do with all things trans, is starting on the 1st of September 2014. So Monday night, be in front of the TV on that date. And you'll get to see Dee, and you'll get to see myself, and Nate, who's been on the show before, and a few other lovely trans people.
Absolutely.
And
great
trans
bunch.
Allies. Great bunch. Absolutely.
Fantastic. So friendly, too.
So friendly. Now, Dee, where were we with your story?
So we pretty well, I talked about it escalating. I talked about, survival mechanisms. So by this stage, I'm quite disassociated from my body. I'm also really aware, and I want to bring this up too, because it is really important that, sadly, no matter what way we want to look at it, even in sexual abuse, an orgasm is an orgasm, and it's supposed to feel good. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're being sexually abused, that thought process is, no, this is wrong. It shouldn't feel good, And so you've got this battle within your head going, this is wrong and it shouldn't feel good, but it does feel good. What is wrong with me?
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Our body is supposed to feel good with an orgasm, and it took me a lot of years to work on that. And we'll probably come back to that subject, but I really wanted to just put that in there because it's a really important bit that I want to talk about. So at this stage, I've reached an age where I'm starting to fight. I'm now self-harming. The self-harming side of things got to a point where I was I'd had many operations through to my hearing issues. So I'd been in and out of hospital about 10 times. Which had been fantastic. And as I said before, this was my safe zone. This is where I had a rest. This was where I could, just be okay during the night without being interrupted. Even though I was struggling with needing to protect my siblings, it was my rest time, in hospital, for God's sake. So when the hearing stuff all got done to the best of the ability, I started self-harming. So I would actually go up into the shed and I would use a hammer on my hands. Now, the hammer on my hands would obviously create major bruising that would run at what did do would run up my arms. The bruising was heading up my arm. Doctors were calling it or eventually found it to be a calcium buildup in my first rib, which was blocking off my blood flow, causing an issue in my hands. It started at 13 in my right hand, and I would literally just go up and bang, bang, bang on my hand with a hammer. I didn't break any bones, but gee, it hurt. So I don't know how that to happen. They finally figured that it was the calcium. So put me in hospital to take out my first rib on my right side. So I started on my left side, and then I went back to my right side. So this is all written up in a journal because apparently it was a rare occurrence that doctors had found such an amazing thing to happen on both sides of your body. Really rare occurrence, but it was me.
And did you know that they were thinking it was something else and that they didn't know that it was you? Were you trying to hide that from them?
I didn't want to tell them. I wanted to go into hospital.
Okay, so you didn't want to say, actually, it's me, don't take out my ribs?
God, no, they would have institutionalized me.
Mm.
No adult was going to hear what I had to say. I was a kid. Mm. They didn't care what I had to say. It was my parents, me against them.
Yeah. Did you trust the nurses? Because they were adults. And they
I trusted
would have,
no adult.
Because they would have been touching you and looking after you.
Yeah, but they weren't touching me sexually.
Mm.
And what were they going to do? I was disassociated from my body anyway. Do what you like.
Yeah.
You can't use a hammer on your hand day in, day out, months, years. And this happened from 13 to 16.
Mm.
You can't do that and be associated with your body. It's impossible. I wanted to feel. I really, really wanted to feel, but this was my survival. I'd shut down. I didn't know. I didn't know any other way. So to me, it was just get into hospital and have a break.
Yeah.
So it was an ongoing battle with that. And I would just continue it and continue it and continue it. The next thing that pretty well happened within all of this is my father decided that, you know, I was just not behaving accordingly to him sexually, and he decided that it was a good thing to start using his prescription drugs that he had on me. So he decided to start giving me Serapax and Senequin and start dulling me. Now, to be honest, I didn't mind that.
Because you didn't have to deal with it.
Well, I didn't have to do all the disassociation. It was okay. Like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So it made you pass out?
Nope.
So you were still awake, but...
I was still awake, I just didn't care.
Yeah, sort of like a Valium effect.
Yeah, very much so, mm. Yeah. I mean, it's old school stuff, and really I couldn't tell you a great deal about them nowadays because I've actually really not gone into it.
Okay.
But apparently the two together are not a good mix, and it's certainly quite addictive drugs. He wouldn't give me a full one of his, so he'd actually take it out of the capsule and put it on my tongue, which I remember that taste, and it's foul, which is why they put it in a capsule.
Mm-hmm.
Amazingly enough, now I know, you know, and so he started quietening me down by doing this. And this went on for a few years.
He felt the need to quiet you down because did you start screaming and kicking? And
certainly not screaming, but I started fighting.
Yep. Punching or?
No, just, you know, just giving him a hard time.
Yeah.
You know, my father was a very strict man. And he was a very scary man, you know. We kind of grew up when the car would pull in the driveway wondering, we'd all sit there really quietly and really still wondering what mood he was in, you know. So there was always a lot of fear in growing up. And certainly, you know, the abuse was just very much part of that.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, if I behaved properly and he got to do what he wanted to me, and he was happy, then we were all happy for a short period of time.
Mm.
And sadly, that's what it came down to, you know. And that's how I grew up. So, you know, self-harm was a big part of it, dissociation, and the drugs as well.
Yep.
So what happens is then we get to a certain age and, you know, I don't know what else to do. Mm. You know, I'm struggling to, you know,
you
I
need
don't know.
Support and you're
I
addicted
need
to
everything,
drugs.
But we don't have it. You
yeah.
know? So, you know, at this stage, some stage prior to this, you know, my it comes out to my father's family. All hell breaks loose. He goes off into Melbourne Clinic. Psychiatrists are now telling us just to love him. The church is telling us just to love him. He's a father. We have to. We've got no choice. Blah, 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 blah. Mm. You know, so once again, we're back in. No adults are listening to us.
Yep. And your dad
became
a victim.
No adult can, you can't trust. Everyone's, oh, poor him, poor him, poor him. Not, what about us, you know?
Mm.
So, you know, he comes out, all hell breaks loose, the family arrives, his family arrives over, which is a pretty big deal because they're Greek, you know, and then he decides he's going to go off with a knife. All of this is going on. You know, what do you do? Mm. Where's the support at this stage?
Mm. I think what do you do and where to from then is the biggest thing that I think I'm looking forward to hearing it. We do have a song coming up, and it is the Sugar Babes, and it is my partner's choice of song, and I did not choose Sugar Babes. So I'm just letting everyone know that. But I thought I'd put it on just for a bit of a mix up in music. You're listening to Transposition on Joy 94.9, and I've still got Dee in the studio, and we're on a heavy topic. Now, Dee, Where did we leave off before? We're having all these conversations during Sugar Babes because no one's actually listening to Sugar Babes. We're just talking.
Yeah, yeah. So where was I? No, it is.
During the song, we did have a message from Jerry saying, thank you for your bravery. And it is very brave of you to let everyone know your story because it's tense. And I suppose talking about it is almost reliving in a way.
Well, look, you know... I've done a lot of work in being okay and detaching from that. You know, one thing that I want to say in all of this is that part of my journey, my life, my childhood, makes me who I am today, you know. And I like who I am today. So to actually say that was bad or that was horrible keeps me in the victim mode.
Yes.
I'm not a victim. You know, I enjoy my life. I love my life. So I'm not going to stay in victim mode. But in saying that, I did a lot of work on being able to accept that part of me. And there's still a lot that I do in, you know, being able to handle certain situations as an adult. You know, and how I look at other people and my relationships, and these are all different places that we can go and talk about. But it's really important to know that it is part of my journey and who I am today, and I am okay with that. So reliving it, not quite. You know, I still feel it. I still know about it. But it doesn't dig deep into me anymore and keep me in a dark place.
That sounds like the key to mindfulness to me. I've read a little bit about mindfulness, and it's about you can't change the past. The past will be there.
Yeah.
You don't have to be living in it.
No.
And certainly don't live in the future because that just causes anxiety. So you're in the present. There's no time like the present. The past.
Well, one of the things I got taught was, you know, if you've got one foot in the past and one foot in the future, you're pissing on the present.
There you go.
Okay. We don't want to piss on the present.
With an STP.
Preferably, would be really great. And if I could just get it in the right place without wetting myself, that'd be great. So where I was coming from, just in the last bit, and it's important that, you know, we finish off this segment with a positive note because you've got to realize that, yes, this is a journey, but, yes, we can go so far. You know, we can come out of these kind of situations and be quite powerful, strong people. And it's one of the reasons why I sit here today and talk about it because it's not something to hide from.
It's not.
I am on radio talking to you guys as this has happened to me personally. You know, I was sexually abused constantly, day in, day out, week on, years on, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's one sexual abuse or it's 50,000 sexual abuse. The feeling is the same. You know, so don't negate that. What I'm saying is we can get out of that. We can get away from that. We can make it a positive. We can put it into our life that actually makes us stronger people for the next people.
That's right.
You know, and this is why I sit here. This is what I want to do. It's the same with the alcoholism and my journey there. It's the same with my abuse. You know, my abuse led into my alcoholism so that I could run it from it. Once again, as I said to you during a break, Kurt, you know, there are so many, there's so much more to this. And I'm so happy to come back and talk further about this. And certainly if anyone's got any questions they want to fire at you, I'm happy to answer anything.
Awesome. We like to hear that.
I don't have a problem in answering, honestly, and whatever that is. If you want to know something that you would never ask anyone, put it up here. I'll answer it.
Yep. You know? I believe you, Dee, because I've asked you some crazy questions and I've gone, oh, I don't know if I should ask Dee, but I'm just going to anyway. And Dee goes, well done for asking, Kurt.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's no stupid question, but there's also, I know, a lot of questions that I would have asked in my abuse or in times where I mean, we've only got to 13 and a half. The journey after that, you know, goes, you know, at 16 and a half, I was addicted to these drugs and I then ran away from home after a major struggle within my headspace because I didn't want to leave my siblings.
Yeah.
You know, but I also knew because my father had said, if I wasn't there, I was the only child. The other kids weren't there. He didn't care about them. And I thought, well, if I wasn't there, then they would be safe.
Right.
Because he didn't care about them.
Yeah.
So I made the decision to leave. And, you know, that decision in that moment, which I planned, I packed a bag, I put it, I hid it in the car that I was working on.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, ultimately my father brought me up quite male.
Yeah.
You know, I worked on cars. I built decking and fences and did concreting. And, you know, I did all of these because I worked side by side with my father.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the next journey was that I had to walk down the driveway with my bag and leave.
Mm. Did you know where you were going? Did you have that?
No.
You just had
no, I didn't actually even feel like I was in my body when I was walking down the driveway.
Yeah.
I didn't even feel like I was present, but I knew I had to do it.
Yeah.
You know, huge at this age.
Mm.
You know, massively. I didn't have any adult support because I didn't trust any of them.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm.
So you've got to realize that. But in all of this, if someone has a question, please, please ask it.
Absolutely.
You know, if I can help in any way, or you want to reach out so that we can put you in the right direction, please, please let us know.
Absolutely. You can SMS now 0427-JOY-949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. Or if you have any questions during the week, you can jump on the Joy website, joy.org.au, and click on Transpositions, and you can email us through there and ask anything, like Dee said. And we can have Dee back on again, talking more about this issue or any other issues that you face, Dee, because you have had a many chapters coming off your journey.
Absolutely. I mean, look, you know, we've gone to 16, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear the next part of it and the next part of it. I'm happy to take you through the steps I took to get where I am, you know, because once I left and ran away from this place, you know, I then started self-abuse in the same way. Sexually, because I didn't know. So there's a lot in this, and I'm happy to share if you want me to. On Kurt,
absolutely.
You ask me, you pick the topic, you know I've got it.
Yep.
I have an amazing 48 years, or say 47 and a half years of experience in God so much, I don't know how to even say it. But, you know, I'm happy to go there, and I'm really, really happy to talk about it.
Mm.
Because if it helps one person out there, that's what I'm here for.
Absolutely.
You know.
And I'm interested to delve into a few other things, like how this has affected your gender and your sexuality as well.
Absolutely. There's that topic and a lot more.
A lot more.
But yeah, that's a big one I'd like to address too next time.
That's an interesting one. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and it is that time of the week again where we have come to the end of the show. We will be back next Tuesday, and I've got Jane from Transmission Time joining us.
Yeah.
Chris is on the panel, and he's doing silent claps. We all love Jane at Joy. Dee, it's been a really great show tonight, and I think that you've certainly made a difference with anyone who's listening, and hopefully we've just opened up a few more discussion topics that people don't feel so taboo about talking about.
I hope so. And look, you know, if anyone's got a particular subject that they'd like to, maybe they should, you know, get in contact with you and see where that takes, you know. There's so many different levels, and there's so much we can talk about.
Absolutely, yeah.
The stuff no one wants to talk about, I'll talk about.
Great. We love that. If you are interested in coming onto Transpositions, you can go to the Joy website and contact me through clicking on Transpositions. And, yeah, I would love as many stories as I can to be shared on Transpositions. Now, Dee, thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you.
And we will have you back again soon.
Excellent.
And Chris, thanks for being on the panel.
Thanks, Chris.
And Jerry on the front desk.
Yay, Jerry.
Yay, Jerry. And thanks, Jerry, for your messages from before. We will speak to you all next week. Have a great week. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.